From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Thursday, May 5th, 2016. That's right, it is Cinco de Mayo today. Like, we've had a loaded week when it comes to celebrations. Yesterday was Star Wars Day, May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Mother's Day is, of course, coming up this weekend. It is also Teacher Appreciation Week. It's just a loaded week, a busy week. And we have certainly been busy throughout the week here on WKAR's Current Sports. We've got a hot show in store for you this entire hour. Again, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We will be diving into a new face that will join the Michigan State men's basketball program. Find out who that is in just a second. Also, the Detroit Tigers, after a brief hot streak, they hit a hole. Yeah, the Tigers were shut out. Shut out yesterday at the hands of the Cleveland Indians. So what's going on with what's going wrong with the Tigers, I should say? We'll dive into the Tigers. Also, we will, as promised on yesterday's Current Sports, we will dive into the Eastern Michigan University athletics story that HBO's Real Sports did. You don't want to miss that intriguing conversation there. And also, it is Thursday, and you know each and every Thursday we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine and check out what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. That's right, Throwback Thursday will be coming at you. That and so much more, but you know how we start this party every day. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this Thursday, May 5th. All right, folks, we start off our headliners with two stories that are a bit sad. Howard King, the public address announcer from 1972 to 2005 at the Big House, and on Wednesday, that voice was silenced as he sadly passed away. Now, the news was relayed in a Facebook post by King's successor at the stadium, Mike Carl Grappentine, who wrote, quote, "I just received very sad news. Howard King, the voice of Michigan Stadium from 72 to 05, passed away this morning in Traverse City. He was 83, not only a colleague, but a dear friend for several decades. Rest in peace and go blue." He will certainly be missed. And also, Bellator MMA fighter from Berrien Springs, Michigan, Jordan Parsons, has died after being struck in a hit-and-run incident in Delray Beach, Florida. Oh, boy. Parsons was 25 years old. Bellator officials reported Parsons' death on Wednesday. Parsons has been hospitalized since late Saturday evening after he was hit by a silver SUV while crossing an intersection. In an effort to save Parsons' life, his leg was amputated. Delray Beach police are still working to identify a suspect. And sad news coming out of the camp of the Detroit Lions, folks. According to multiple tweets, including one from his son, Brashad, former Detroit Lions wide receiver Brett Perriman has been hospitalized in the Miami area. A family member told WING host Andy Slater that Perriman, who's 50 years old, collapsed due to extremely high blood pressure. Hip-hop star and friend Luther Campbell tweeted Perriman was fighting for his life. Former teammate LaRon Searcy indicated Perriman was on life support. Former Lions president Tom Luan also took to Twitter asking for prayers. Boy, not the way you want to start a show, right? All right, to the Detroit Tigers. Cleveland Indians ace Corey Kluber turned in a vintage performance on Wednesday night, creating a wave of ground ball outs in a complete game and sidestepping a handful of jams en route to a 4-0 dub over the Detroit Tigers at Progressive Field. Now, the win was Cleveland's fifth in a row over its divisional rival from Detroit this season. Now, the Indians used a four-run showing in the fourth inning against the Tigers' right-hander Anibal Sanchez to back Kluber's gem. Detroit's top prospect, Michael Fulmer, will make his second major league start when he faces the Indians in tonight's 6-10 Eastern Time series finale. Now, Fulmer won his big league debut last Friday at Minnesota with five innings of two-run ball. Right-hander Trevin Bauer will make the start for the Cleveland Indians. Michigan State has found the front court help it's been looking for in the 2016-17 season. Now, Ben Carter, he is a graduate transfer from UNLV. He will play his final season of eligibility for the Spartans. He announced that on Wednesday on his Twitter page. He will be immediately eligible next season. Carter is 6'9", 225 pounds. He played his first two seasons at Oregon before transferring to UNLV in 2014. Now, after sitting out a year, he averaged 8.6 points and 6 rebounds per game in 22 games last season with 7 starts. His season ended with a torn ACL in late January. More on that story in just a sec. Don't go anywhere. This year's Quick Lane Bowl will be played at Ford Field on Monday, December 26th at 2:30 p.m. on ESPN. The Lions announced that news yesterday. Now, last season, Minnesota topped Central Michigan 21-14 before 34,217 fans. In the inaugural game in 2014, Rutgers beat North Carolina 40-21. Former Cleveland Browns quarterback, yes, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, in the news yet again. He was told Thursday this morning by a judge in Dallas County Criminal Court to have no contact whatsoever with former girlfriend Colleen Crowley. Now, Judge Roberto Kennis on Thursday, he took no more than 15 minutes to explain the conditions for Manziel's release on $1,500 bond. In addition, Kennis said Manziel could have no contact. That means no calls, texts, emails, letters, visits, smoke signals, nothing with Crawley. So there you have that. ESPN 300 quarterback Tate Martell, very intriguing story here. Get this. The third-ranked dual-threat quarterback in the 2017 class, he announced Wednesday that he was reopening his recruiting process, ending his longtime commitment to Texas A&M. Now, things got quite interesting. When minutes after Martell's announcement, Texas A&M receivers coach Aaron Moorhead, he tweeted about, quote, loyalty. This is the exact tweet that Moorhead sent out. Quote, I feel sorry for people who never understand loyalty. I can't really even vibe with you. At the end of the day, trust is 100 and everything else is BS, end quote. Now, more tweets of a similar theme followed that one shortly thereafter, including one claiming that Moorhead, quote, wasn't even talking about what everyone thinks I'm talking about, end quote, noting bad timing. Now, later on, another player saw this interaction. He saw Moorhead's tweet and tweeted this. This is coming from receiver Manny Netherly, the number 181 overall player in the ESPN 300 list. He announced that he decommitted and referenced the tweets from his future coach in his Twitter post. I kid you not, folks. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on anything that's on your mind, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
We're still doing an investigation in this matter, and it is our contention that the search of the vehicle may have been illegal. And as a result of that, we intend to vigorously fight that particular issue.
Did he take a weapon into the strip club?
Of course not. And there's no evidence that a weapon was taken into a club. Now, they also serve food and beverage in that particular location. And he did not carry any weapon in there, and there's no evidence that he did. And we do not know where that rumor came from. Suggest that. The positives are, here's an individual, young man who has no criminal history whatsoever, he's one of the fortunate athletes that graduated from college within the specified period of time. So he made suitable proficiency there. He never had any behavioral problems in his life whatsoever. And there was no reason, what we believe, for him to have been stopped. And they think that that's the problem here.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. Happy, happy Thursday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. What you just heard was the lawyer of former Michigan State men's basketball star Keith Appling. Cyril Hall, excuse me, is the name of Appling's lawyer. And you just heard the, I guess you can say, the attack, the game plan that Mr. Hall plans to take when making sure that Keith Appling does not serve any jail time. And for those that have been living under a rock and don't know about the story, but attorneys say that former Michigan State basketball player Keith Appling has been charged with carrying a concealed weapon and other crimes after being found in possession of guns and what is suspected to be marijuana in suburban Detroit, that being Dearborn, Michigan, to be exact. The Wayne County Prosecutor's Office says Appling was arrested on Sunday evening outside of a Detroit strip club entitled The Pantheon. And club security called police after seeing a man pull a gun from the trunk of a car. Prosecutors say Appling was in the driver's seat, under which officers found a handgun. There was also a loaded weapon in the trunk and a small amount of suspected marijuana. You know, and we briefly dove into this story when it broke, of course, earlier this week. And, you know, it's just a bit unfortunate because, first off, when you look at what has happened in recent months when concerning former Michigan State men's basketball stars, it's a bit, you know, you have to kind of do a double take. You know, you look at the situation, the domestic situation concerning Zach Randolph in the NBA. We, of course, brought to you the Brandon Dawson domestic violence situation, which, you know, all charges have been dropped when it comes to Dawson in that situation. So I want to make that known as well. He was not found guilty when it comes to anything of any regard. And also, you know, the Mateen Cleave situation with sexual assault claims. And now we see Appling, a young man with a world of talent. I actually sat back yesterday and I Googled Keith Appling in his first year with the Erie BayHawks this past season. And my goodness, the kid was balling out of control. I mean, wow. And this is the thing about Appling, he was always a good player at Michigan State. But again, that game against North Carolina, that home game where he went up and he fell down on his hip and his wrist, Appling was never the same after that. But prior to that, Keith Appling was for sure a National Player of the Year candidate. So I was curious to see how his progression was coming out, and I looked up his numbers, and his numbers were absolutely fantastic. He started in 34 of the 35 games with the BayHawks last year. A fantastic player. It looks like his jump shot improved. He has always had a great first step. He's a great player on the break. He's a solid defender. And hey, you know, the Erie BayHawks are the D-League affiliate of the Orlando Magic. And hey, who knows? Might have been called up next season because his numbers look great. But I just hate to see a young man, especially from my hometown of Detroit, a young African-American male with the world at his feet. So much potential, doing great things, playing with a shot at the NBA, and now possibly throwing it all away if he is convicted of these crimes. My goodness. And you look at the situation, you know, Appling's in the parking lot. Now, and I wanted to dispel this rumor. As you just heard from Appling's lawyer, Appling did not bring a gun inside of the club. And it was originally reported that the gun was an AK-47. At first, I don't even know how it's impossible to sneak an AK-47 inside of a club. Okay, come on. You get patted down. I mean, AK-47, that's a pretty big gun, all right? That's not happening. So that was falsely reported. That was a rumor. Again, what happened was, you know, security at the Pantheon, they saw an individual, you know, pull a gun out of his trunk. And they said, okay, this could be a problem. We're calling the cops. And then that led to them investigating Keith Appling on site. And, you know, again, what Mr. Hall is now arguing is that the search of Appling's car was not legal. So that's the area they plan on attacking. But for me, I sit there and say, okay, why in the world? You are Keith Appling, okay? You're making your public name, you got a shot at the league. Why in the world are you carrying around weapons in the first place? I just don't get it. And we see countless examples, and we will continue to see countless examples of athletes just doing stupid things. And I think a lot of athletes, again, I've made this point countless times as well, they don't realize their stature in the world of public eyes. You know, when you are thrust into fame all of a sudden, it's hard to make that adjustment. I can only imagine. I've never been through that, but I can only imagine where you're just kind of going through life as an average Joe. You know, and your name is continuing to get more and more notoriety based on what you're doing. In Appling's case, what you're doing on the basketball court. And you don't realize how the spotlight is always on you. And I think there's going to be a wake-up call for Keith Appling. I really hope that he can get back on track. Because, again, he was having a great year. He was having a fantastic year in the D-League. And it's just really, really unfortunate that this took place. So, as always, we'll keep you guys updated in the coming weeks as to how this story will pan out. Again, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, facebook.com/currentsports. You can also tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. I want to bring up this story also. Michigan State is getting some much needed help when it comes to the front court. That's right, folks. It was announced that Tom Izzo has landed Ben Carter. He is a forward from Las Vegas who announced his plans to transfer to Michigan State after spending last season at UNLV. Now, as a graduate transfer, he is immediately eligible to play next season. Because I know that was the big question, and I kept getting on my cell phone, okay, Al, if he's transferring, doesn't he have to sit out a year? But no, he is a graduate transfer. And reading from an article, this is done by Chris Solari of the Lansing State Journal, and it's entitled UNLV Transfer Ben Carter Couldn't Pass Up Michigan State. And this is a direct quote from this article coming from Carter. Quote, I think for me, Michigan State was the right decision because when I went up on my visit and met with Coach Izzo, he really stressed the importance of a family culture on the team. He made it clear to me that there's a spot that needs to be filled. And it was something I was looking forward to. The situation fit. And get this, you know, basketball is in Mr. Carter's blood. Get this, his father, Mike, played professionally for 17 years overseas, including 13 in Tel Aviv, Israel, where Ben was actually born before the family relocated to Las Vegas. Now, Mike Carter, he coached his son growing up and on the AAU circuit. Now, he's 6'9". 225 pounds. Now, I will say, if there are any red flags to bring up about the situation, I checked out his highlight tape, and I must say I like his game. He's a presence down low. If anything, when I sat back and watched like 3 minutes of his highlight reel, and what I noticed is that Ben Carter has good instincts in the paint. Now, again, how much can you draw from a highlight tape? Because in a highlight tape, you're getting the best of the best, all right? They're not showing the worst of the worst, all right? But what I saw from that highlight tape was that Ben Carter, he's got a good feel around the rim. He's got good basketball instincts in the paint, and I love that. You know, I saw a few plays in which, you know, there were a few pick and rolls between Carter and his respective guard. He rolled right to the basket, a little pivot foot, layup. I've seen some plays where, you know, he's been fed with backdoor cuts for some slams. He's got, you know, just good instincts. From what I saw, again, which is a very small sample size of Ben Carter's game, But from what I saw, he's got good instincts around the rim, which I like. But if there are any red flags for me, I'm just throwing it out there. Again, he began his career at Oregon before transferring to UNLV, and now he's transferring to Michigan State. I don't know if you guys are like me, but when a player transfers more than once in his college career, I kind of have to hit him with the side eye a little bit and say, okay, what went wrong with your other previous two stops? Now, hey, you know, he legitimately probably felt that they weren't good fits for his game, felt like he wasn't fitting in the system correctly, so he decided to transfer. But when you do it more than once, it's okay, I get that. You know, hey, making that decision to go to college and play ball, sometimes you strike out and miss, and maybe that school is not right for you. We talked about that when it comes to Trevor Manuel, who ironically went to Oregon and transferred from Oregon as well. So, you know, hey, it happens. But more than once, I'm sitting there saying, okay, is this guy just, I don't know. Now, in defense of Carter, he is going through rehab and physical therapy out in Las Vegas because he tore his left anterior, basically his left ACL, okay, in late January and missed the rest of the season. So I always love how articles, they put it, why can't you just say ACL in an article? I was about to make myself look like an idiot reading that, Isaac, but he tore his left ACL, okay? And for me, when looking at it, it's like, all right, you know, he went through an injury. He probably felt, you know, when you go through something like tearing your ACL, you just maybe need a different atmosphere, a different breath of life so that it rejuvenates you, you know, to make you want to get out there. Because riding the bench for a program, and you're sitting there while your teammates go out there and ball out, and you're sitting there with a bum leg, and, you know, maybe you need somewhere else to rejuvenate just that psyche of going out there and playing again. So, hey, I'm looking forward to seeing him, and he fills a much-needed void for the Michigan State men's basketball team. Deontay Davis, again, the NBA draft is fastly approaching. He's gone, and just imagine, I mean, if Deontay would have stayed with the core that this team has coming in next year with Cassius Winston and you know, all those guys, I mean, goodness, that would have been Nick Ward, all those guys. I mean, it would have been unbelievable squad next year. But he's gone now. Davis is gone. You've got Marvin Clark transferring. So there's a need when it comes to that front court. Matt Costello, the most consistent force down low last year for this team, he's graduated, and he's no longer a Spartan. So, you know, you look at it and say, okay, Michigan State needs a big man. And that's why they went after Ben Carter. And I got this news, like, literally, like probably an hour before we taped Current Sports TV last night. And I looked at his size, 6'9", 225, and I said, okay, we already know where Coach Izzo is going here. So I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, my man?
Doing well, yeah. Excited about this signing for Michigan State because I think if you had to address one big issue with this team, we mentioned the guard position is set now. With Matt McQuaid returning, you've got, of course, Josh Lankford coming in. You've got Cassius Winston, Tum Tum Nairn. You are going to be fine when it comes to guards. Josh Jackson was not that big of a depletion for this team, simply because that would have almost overburdened Michigan State when it came to guards. Now, at the big men position, that's where the questions lay. Because Nick Ward, he's a really big guy. You like his size down low, his weight. You like how he can move around. But at the same time, you're not sure, with that frame, how many minutes that guy will be able to play freshman year. Gavin Schilling. Still, we haven't seen the potential that came freshman year, and everybody was so excited about. So this signing, Ben Carter, it gives you more experience, which is a big deal. Hopefully replace that Matt Costello loss. And at the same time, it also gives you a very important role down low. You mentioned he moves well. He knows where to be. His positional awareness, and like you said, it's a highlight reel. How much can you take from it? But at the same time, all of the reports I've read, he is very smart in the paint. And that's what Michigan State needs. They need a guy with that sort of offensive prowess to be able to pick up some loose rebounds and put them back up, get second chance boards, and I think Ben Carter will be able to do that.
Yeah, just an overall polished game. I think the knock on Deontay Davis, and, you know, we discussed this, Isaac, is that, you know, Deontay, I mean, don't get me wrong. He was a great force. I mean, he especially defensively. I mean, how many blocks did he have last year? He was fantastic. But the thing about Deontay offensively was that he was one-dimensional. He just had a jump hook. That was about it. And I told a story about how I was watching this team in the Big Ten tournament, and I was watching the huddle, and, you know, Izzo's diagramming the play that they want to run, right? And Deontay Davis is in the huddle and he's watching, quote unquote. And all of a sudden, you know, the horn sounds and the players walk out on the court. And Deontay immediately does not go to the spot where he's supposed to be. And Denzel Valentine and I forget who the other teammate was, but they chew Deontay out. And what happens? Izzo has to take him out the game. So mentally, you know, it's, Davis wasn't there all the time. You know what I mean? But his game, he was such a force physically that it allowed him to get by at the Division I level. And that's why he's projected to be even a higher draft pick than, you know, National Player of the Year, four-time National Player of the Year, Denzel Valentine, which is mind-boggling to me. So, yeah, this definitely fills a void, though, for Michigan State. And going back to the situation about the conversation about the transfers, and I want to ask you, Isaac, I mean, the fact that he transferred two times, is that a concern of yours at all? Because for me, when you look at it, again, this is his final year of eligibility. So he knows that he has no more opportunities to transfer here. This is it. I think he's going to go all out. I think that becomes a non-issue because he does not have another year of eligibility to go elsewhere.
Yeah, I'd say in other situations, you could kind of tick this off as a red herring. But considering this is his last year, because let's consider this from Ben Carter's perspective, right? It's his last year. The guy is 6'9", 225, and I'm assuming he doesn't want to be in marketing after he graduates. So he wants to go to a place with as much exposure as the school can lend him. He wants to go to a place where he actually has a chance to get in the eyesight of all these different scouts. Because people forget, once you leave college, it's not NBA or bust. It's NBA, overseas, D-League, training camps. There are all sorts of different avenues to continue your college career onto the pros and make some money with the game you've been playing for presumably your entire life. So I think that's what Carter's doing. He realized going to UNLV, he went to a school in a smaller conference, maybe not as much media attention. Michigan State does resolve that problem for him.
All right, so neither Izzo or his staff can comment until, of course, Carter signs officially with the school. Carter said, you know, you bring up he's not going to go into marketing, Isaac. Carter actually said he plans to finish his degree in public administration at UNLV and arrive in East Lansing during the summer. So, yeah, if the basketball thing doesn't work out, we may see him doing something
well,
with
yeah,
that major.
So, that's something. That's not communications.
It's not communications, right.
That's a pretty good field. All right.
And to address that piece of what Isaac had to say, you know, the major of communication gets a bad rep. You know
it
that?
Does.
Because
it does.
It's the major that's brought up constantly as the easy route throughout college. A lot of athletes, not to knock on any athletes out there who are majoring in communication, but, you know, that was the joke. That's funny that joke still exists, because that was a joke when I was in college, too, that, okay, athletes, they want to just skate by college and make that leap to the pros, so a lot of them are going to major in what? Communication. So that still exists today, then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Al, you forget. We're not that far apart.
Right,
you're making yourself sound old.
I am making myself look like I have a cane and an oxygen tank, right? but I see where you're going with that. So our phone lines are open, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Listen to our first break. When we come back, we're going to give you guys a preview of tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down with Kenneth Vaughn. It was such an intriguing conversation. Ken is just a wealth of knowledge, and he holds the position at MSU as the Assistant Director of Development. You don't want to miss what he had to say concerning the Flint water crisis. A great chat. Don't miss that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKER's Current Sports. You know, Isaac, I hear this tune all the time, and every time I hear it, I'm like, man, I like this. Who is this? Who is this?
I actually could not tell you.
Get out.
No,
So you just cut it and don't even know who it is?
Yeah, I have to say, I've cut so much music, I always forget.
If someone knows, can we play that one more time? Do you have it? Play that one more time, just for a little bit. I love this groove. That's a fantastic groove, dude. And I hear it all the time, but I do not know who sings. If someone knows out there, I'm pretty sure one of our listeners knows. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I love that groove, dude. Also, I need some help because what a busy week it's been when it comes to just celebrations. Because yesterday was, of course, Star Wars Day. And I think that's officially become a day here in America. May the 4th be with you. So shout out to all you Star Wars fans out there. And I was also downstairs getting me some coffee, and I ran into an individual, and you know, we got to talking about Star Wars Day, and he's like, yeah, you know, Al, today is also May 5th. I'm like, yeah, Cinco de Mayo. He's like, we also hold another day, Revenge of the 5th. That's what they're calling this. Star Wars fans are calling the day after May 4th, which is already May the 4th be with you, Revenge of the 5th, which, you know, Revenge of the Sith in Star Wars. So they also, I guess it's like a two-day celebration for them. So so there you have that. But it's Cinco de Mayo today. And then it's Teacher Appreciation Week. Also, for me, my late grandfather's birthday was earlier this week. And Mother's Day. Busy week. Like, the first week in May, I didn't realize how many celebrations there are, dude. That's crazy.
Well, Mother's Day is always the first Sunday of May, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Because, no, I'm just trying to get it all sorted. But actually, my roommate woke me up yesterday and said, you know, May the 4th be with you, or whatever they say. But I didn't know what the heck he was talking about. I just was like, day away from Cinco de Mayo. Woo! I mean, I like Star Wars, don't get me wrong, but does it really merit, and no offense to any Star Wars junkies out there, does it merit a two-day celebration?
Yeah, I think only like the diehard Star Wars fans celebrate, you know, Revenge of the 5th, okay? But yeah, May the 4th be with you. That's like it. I mean, everybody was talking about that yesterday. It's pretty big news. I mean, it's amazing how big Star Wars is. You don't realize it until, you know, a day like yesterday comes up, or a new movie, a new Star Wars movie comes
up.
Well,
that's what I think sparked all of this. Yeah.
I think when, you know, when the latest Star Wars, which I saw, it's, have you seen it, Isaac?
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing movie. You start to see why it was such a craze dating back to the 80s. So, but I need some help, though, because Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday. I called up my mom's. I'm like, hey, Mom, what do you want? And she said, you know what? I don't know. And you know what? I know my mom so well. It's Mom. I know that she knows what she wants. She wants me to guess to try and figure out if I'm going to nail it. I know my mom so well, dude. So I'm stuck, though, this year, because I felt like in the past years I've gotten her just about everything she's wanted, and I've crossed all my T's, dotted all my I's, and I am officially out of ideas. So I'm asking folks out there, if please give me some ideas, because I sat there for at least like 10 or 15 minutes after I got off the phone with her. I'm saying, I just don't know. Please call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What are you getting your mom? She's not listening right now, is she?
That's why I'm worried about giving it away. So yeah. I'm hoping my present will get there on time, because I've got to order it, send it in, everything.
Same
like
with
that.
Me, because my mom lives out in Miami now. So.
I was going to say, but yeah. I'm planning on, my mom got me some great popcorn, just delicious popcorn. We're both popcorn heads, and I'm going to get that for her, and then I'm planning on a few New Orleans / Michigan State stuff. So just a few little trinkets. What about you?
I like that. Well, for me, this is what I was thinking.
What's the top option?
You have to go, in a situation like this, you have to go traditional as well. So flowers and candy, I think that's like, you have to get those, or else it's a crime if you don't get flowers and candy, all right? But after that, it's like you got to get a present with it, and I'm just stuck. I've gotten her cologne. I've gotten her purses. I've gotten her, perfume, excuse me, not cologne. not cologne, Mom.
Some good Axe deodorant, you know?
No, I've gotten her perfume. I've gotten her clothes. I've gotten her purses. I've gotten her shoes. I'm like, I've gotten her a blender. She went in a blender to get healthier. I've gotten her that. I'm like, I just don't know. So I don't know, man. But I know flowers and candy, without a doubt, she'll be getting that in the mail. Yep. I just don't know what else. So, well,
and my idea for you, she's not listening, is she?
No, she's all not right. My mom never listens.
It's so. Also.
Thank you, Mom.
It's totally possible that this is an idiotic idea. Callers, feel free to call me out on it. But what about one of those classic retired person's Florida shirts? The oversized Florida shirts with the flowers painted all over them.
Yeah. I've never heard of that.
You've never seen that? Have you seen Seinfeld?
No.
Okay, it's what Jerry's parents always wear. But yeah, it's the classic go-to retired person's attire in Florida.
My mom will be tremendously offended if I got her that. If she was like, old person. I'm not old. My mom thinks she's like 20, all right?
Oh, that's fair. So, my dad does the same. Yeah, my dad's always listening to rap music and hanging at musical festivals.
Mom, come on. No, don't say turn up. That's not cool. It's not cool, Mom. So, yeah. But yeah, okay, that's an idea, I guess. I'll look into that.
So that's a no. That's a no.
Right, that's a big no. So, all right, well, let's get to our current sports TV preview for tonight, folks. You know, it was such a pleasure sitting down with a man who definitely is a dear friend of mine, and we had a bit of kind of a nostalgic feeling when he walked into the Current Sports TV studio last night at 6 p.m. because we both went to college together, and I remember my freshman year of college at Michigan State sitting in the basement of East Acres Hall, and he also lived there as well. And we both happened to take the same math class, and we were sitting down there just trying to just figure out numbers, all right? And we just bonded, man. And he's a great guy, who is always about giving back to the community. Now, his name is Kenneth Vaughn. He is the Michigan State University Assistant Director of Development. He graduated from Michigan State a year earlier than me in 2011 with a bachelor's degree in family community service. Fitting, right? With a focus on youth development, he now holds a position, again, as the Assistant Director of Development for the Office of External Relations. Now, back in October, Vaughn even hosted a Youth Advantage Conference at the MLive and Flint Journal building in downtown Flint to reach out to local kids to provide insight. And Kenneth has done a great job of rallying the community here in East Lansing to help out in what's going on out in the Flint, the city of Flint, when it comes to the Flint water crisis. Very fitting, seeing as though this week, actually yesterday, President Barack Obama was in town to address that situation and so much more. So I first had to ask Ken, when it comes to the situation out in Flint, his family being from Flint, what exactly that community is currently going through.
Well, Al, I mean, the news doesn't lie, man. You know, these residents are really expecting water to come in by the bottles loads. You know, you got people who are really just devastated because they can't even cook or wash their own dishes in this water. You know, you just got to think about it, man. If you are waking up doing your daily essentials of brushing your teeth and all of the above, man, they have to use bottled water for it. So, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, these people are still going through a trying time right now. And even though we have, you know, a lot of people coming by and showing their support and showing their love, you know, we're still in it. You know, it's not changing until we get those pipes changed.
How specifically has this affected the ones you love, Ken? Because I know you're from Flint, all your family's out there. I mean, what's that interaction like when you go back to your hometown and see them?
So when I go back, you know, everything is business as usual. You know, businesses are up, even though they are still, you know, going through a few things water-wise. They're still running. Everything is back to normal until, you know, you got to wake up in the morning and brush your teeth and you got to use a bottle of water. Then reality hits you that these people do not have clean water anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, it's a shock to me because growing up in Flint, I played varsity football all 4 years and, you know, after running sprints, it's common to go to the water fountain or go to the water hose and get a drink. But now you have to keep bottles and bottles of water, you know, on deck, basically. So,
right.
You know, it's affecting my family because, you know, my grandmother had pneumonia. You know, my dad had a few skin rashes from taking a shower. So, I mean, it's definitely affecting them.
My goodness. Now, as far as the situation presently today? Now, I know the president of the United States, Barack Obama.
POTUS is in Flint.
Yes, he was in Flint, exactly, to deliver a message to you all.
Yeah.
And I got to know, what's the progress right now? I mean, you know, what's the situation look like presently in this week?
Okay, so I don't know the ins and outs, Al, totally on what's going on as far as funding-wise and project-wise. Really, everything is pretty much stagnant still. You know, they're developing plans to figure out what's going to happen in the future. Dr. Mona has been doing a really good job on speaking up for the city of Flint and for the kids. There's a few people with a lot of different programs in the city, Bottles for Babies, a few other things that they are really just trying to move forward. But as of right now, man, those pipes are still damaged, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like, me personally, I feel like they just have to start at that base, at that first source, and then work their way through the community, through the residents and everything like that. But until that happens, man, they're still gonna have poor water coming out of their faucets, so.
Ken, you and I talked before we sat down for this interview, and you mentioned how, you know, you sit back sometimes.
Yeah.
And you watch heinous situations in other parts of the country and other parts of the world.
Right.
And you sit back and say, wow, you know, man, I can't imagine that happening to me.
It's movie stuff.
It's movie stuff. That's what you said.
Yeah, yeah.
But you being from Flint and seeing this take place right where you are, right here in the state of Michigan, I gotta ask. I mean, because it's not like when the situation happened, there was immediate support coming in. It took a minute before everybody to come get involved.
It took a
while. Why did it take so long? Why do you think it took so long?
You know, I don't think that people thought it was serious enough at first. They didn't really understand the magnitude of this crisis. You know, people didn't really understand that because, you know, it started on certain ends of the city. You know, certain ends of the city started off being affected by this. So people on, you know, in the outskirts or Flint Township and, you know, the south side of Flint really didn't get affected right away. But once it started to spread to the people who matter in the city, you know, that's when the word got out and people started to tweet and, you know, put things on Instagram and Facebook, and it just went viral. You know, it's one of those things where if it's bad enough, you know, people will catch on and say, oh, wow, look at what's going on, you know, so.
Ken, I would be remiss if I didn't ask this question. Is there a racial layer to this situation?
You know, it's possible. At the end of the day, we have to figure out what the overall starting point of this was. You know, this wasn't something that was just like, oh, you know, we thought the water was clean and it wasn't type of deal. You know, there's something behind it. I can't really speak on what that is, but I do know that it affected the North Side very, very promptly. And that's where I grew up, born and raised on the North Side, and it's a poor neighborhood. Some parts are. You know, some parts of the North Side, you know, people have GM money and they still are doing well for themselves. But for the most part, man, North Side of Flint is a struggling part of Flint.
Right.
And that's where it started to really affect people in that area. So could it be a racial thing? It's possible.
It's hard for me to fathom that something like this could happen in a Bloomfield Hills, right?
Never.
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 Never. Okay, I want to play a clip for you, Ken, because I got the chance to briefly, and I do mean briefly, chat with Irvin Magic Johnson when he was in town for the Lansing Promise Dinner, raising money for, of course, kids who go to school here in the Lansing area to try and provide funds for them to go to college, to make it easier to go to college. And I asked Magic about his take on the situation out in Flint and how he's getting involved. And here's what he had to say.
All right. Magic, I know you got involved with the situation that's occurring out in Flint, Michigan. What does the Flint Now campaign mean to you?
Yeah, well, right now, you know, Tom Gores and I was going to do separate things. So what happened was we came together and decided to do some things together. Now, we're still going to do some things apart, but we're going to raise money together, give write checks ourselves, and then my foundation, we're the same thing I did in Lansing during the holidays, we're going to do it in Flint as well. We're seeing right now in Flint, everybody's running in, and we're going to have to vet these organizations to make sure if we give them a check or if any organization gives them a check or any individual, that first of all, they're qualified, they're going to do the right thing with the money. And that's where Tom and I have to really, we're going to be careful on making sure it's going to go to the right organizations. It's very, very important. That's going to help the kids and the families and the people who live in Flint.
So you heard Magic mention a few things there. Yeah. The money going to the right organizations. What do you think he means by that, Ken?
You know, that's key, Al, because what he means by that is the fact that there are people who are using this to their advantage. You know, there were folks who were making GoFundMe pages, other sources of collections, and pocketing the money. You know, it happens, you know, whether it's in Haiti, whether it's, you know, wherever the case may be, these things happen, man. People take disasters and use it for their own benefits, you know, and it's sad because these are the same people who are struggling, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, let it go towards something that will help you out. You know, when I sent out a simple email to the folks in my college, the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, we teamed up with Bailey Scholars, we teamed up with Lyman Briggs students, the University Advancement over at the football stadium fundraisers helped out. And all of that money, man, just went straight to water. You know, at that time, that was the only thing that we knew how to help with. And we raised over 20,000 bottles of water, you know, in like a weekend. Mm-hmm. So, wow. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, that's a trusted source, you know, because not only am I a Spartan till I die, but Flint made me and I'll never cheat Flint. You know, so they knew that by handing over funds to me and putting me ahead of this situation, they felt comfortable. And what Magic is saying is he just needs to feel comfortable knowing that his money is going to the right organization, an organization that is really going to help.
Now, Ken, what's the general reaction when you see guys like Magic Johnson, big names? I know they had a benefit concert where yeah. Stevie Wonder comes out, yeah. Janelle Monáe comes yeah, out. Yeah. What's the reaction to those big public figures saying, hey, we see you, Flint, we got your back? But what is also the key to sustaining that momentum to make sure that they don't forget about you guys?
You know, it just has to keep coming from their hearts. If they're truly, truly passionate about what they're doing, truly passionate about the cause, they're going to keep coming back because the smile that they put on these kids' faces and, you know, the elderly folks who are in the community, just seeing these figures come out, seeing them in person, you know, really doing something. They come out there without their, you know, security, without their, you know, camera crews and all of that stuff, man, because they stepping foot on Flint soil, like, this is what we need to get taken care of. I see what's going on. This is what needs to happen. So if they keep that momentum going, if they keep that soft spot in their heart, they'll keep coming back, you know. Philanthropy is something that I know about giving back and understanding where people come from. And it isn't just money. You know, it's your time and your efforts as well. So, you know, when you got these folks coming back, they're coming back for a reason. It's not just for, you know, oh, look at me. I'm showing people that I'm helping out Flint. It's like, man, how could this happen to a place in the United States of America?
And I tell you what, Ken, that's so true. And, yeah. and your title with Michigan State, again, yeah. Assistant Director of Development yeah. for the Office of External Relations, your title has allowed you to really impact your hometown. First off, can you clarify what that title exactly means and how it has opened doors for you to really give back?
You know, I've been humble as a bee since I met you, Al.
Exactly.
So I'm a fundraiser, you know. I'm a major gifts fundraiser, if you want to put it in that perspective. But I basically just raise funds for the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources so that we can stay ahead of the game with all of our departments, so that we can have the best buildings and resources on campus. You know, all of those things, man. We got people who are giving fellowships, endowing scholarships and professorships to get these amazing, and I mean amazing, professors and spokespersons and businessmen and women into Michigan State to impact these students' lives. And basically, all I'm doing is just being that mouthpiece to get the funds here so that students can benefit from it.
Gotta love that. And again, mm-hmm. I mentioned the Youth Advantage Conference that took place in October of last year, a $50,000 scholarship endowment also for students in Genesee County if they do attend Michigan State. I mean, you're doing some great things, Ken. Why is giving back so important to you?
You know, Al, I mentioned before, growing up on the north side of Flint, you know, the opportunities were very scarce. And when you grow up in the city of Flint and you understand how people go different paths than others, you know, you start to see that, and it opens up your eyes to understand that you have to figure out a way to help others as well who helped you along the way. You know, I played football with Matt Tranen. His mom worked at our high school. She sat me down in her office and said, Kenny, I want you to fill out the application to Michigan State. I want you to write your essay, and I'm going to get your transcripts ready because on-site admissions is coming. I got accepted that day. I had no idea I was going to go to Michigan State. Wow. I never had a plan to go to college, period. And here I am now working for the university that gave me a degree that I earned. But, you know, I feel as though there are other students out there in the Flint community, other kids out there who don't have the guidance or the leadership or someone to tell them you need to take 12 credits to be full time, sit in front of the class, you know, go to office hours, those type of things. You know, we need that because I went in blind. It was a complete culture shock. And I had no idea what I was doing. So, you know, I want to be able to give these students the advantage, hence the fact that we have the Youth Advantage Conference.
Right.
It's giving these kids an advantage, man, really just giving them a heads up and allowing them to have access to knowledge, you know, because the last thing that I want to do is be stingy with the knowledge that I've gained over the years. And I'm going to pass it down to my children and, you know, my friends' children along the way, you know, so it should be a cycle. And the cycle, you know, it was broken a long time ago, but now I'm here to repair it, you know. So that's why I help these kids out, man, because I want them to help and I want their kids to help and so on and so forth. You know, that's the plan on making this world a better place, right?
Wow, if that does not inspire you, you do not have a pulse. Kenneth Vaughn, Assistant Director of Development here at Michigan State University. Again, you can catch that interview in its entirety tonight on WKAR-TV's Current Sports at 10:30 p.m. Not only will you get the chance to see that chat between myself and Mr. Vaughn, but you'll get a chance to highlight, I guess you can say, the Keith Appling situation, the NFL draft with Spartans, five Spartans being taken in the NFL draft last weekend in Chicago, Illinois. You get to hear from Jack Conklin, also the Michigan State and U of M baseball team highlights from this past weekend, and also a pretty cool feature done by our very own Brett Cast on the heating system underneath the turf at McLean Baseball Stadium here on campus. Brett Cast did a remarkable job of detailing this new phenomenon, if you will, of heated fields in baseball. You do not want to miss that and so much more. Again, tonight at 10:30 p.m., on WKAR-TV. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by hitting you with Throwback Thursday. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports, and I tell you what, someone has put on the red cape and is coming to my rescue when it comes to figuring out what in the world do I get my moms for Mother's Day this weekend. Right now on the line, we have Sydney from East Lansing. How you doing, Sydney?
I'm doing fine, and I do have a suggestion.
Please help me. Help a brother out here. Please.
Well, you said, first of all, your mother is in Florida, is that right?
Yes, Miami? She just moved to Miami. She after for a long time, living, of course, on the west side of Detroit. She just made the move, and I'm so happy for her. So happy. She loves it out there.
Well, it could be problematic for my suggestion since it might be too hot
okay.
to go on a picnic there. But what I thought, you know, a picnic basket is something a lot of people don't have.
Okay.
But even if they don't get a chance to go on many picnics, it's hard to feel good about going on a picnic with no picnic basket. Maybe she doesn't have one.
That is so true. Sydney, that's a really good idea. Nobody even thinks about that because my mom, she likes getting outdoors. She likes putting on family functions, you know, barbecuing or going on hikes. A picnic basket, that may work, Sydney. That may work.
I can attest that Al is not just saying that to suck up. He took his pen and wrote picnic basket down. I just saw it. I'm not kidding.
I definitely just did that, Sydney. So I am taking your advice to heed, okay?
I also have one other suggestion as a former English teacher.
Okay.
I always, throughout the years, have asked my kids if they would write me a note. And if possible, just put something specific in there that they liked that I did or said in the past year or something like that. And, you know, like my son wrote that he was really grateful to me for recommending that book, Glass Castle. You know, it's something specific that I did
right.
that he liked. And, you know, as a mother and your kids are so busy and gone a lot of the time, if you have the card, and it might be the most valuable part of most cards is just your kids' signature in there, their name written in there. But if you have a note that where you say something that you
is meaningful
like about your mom or that something she did well that you think they remember that I did this, you know. So I would say putting a note in any card, you know,
right.
birthday card and all that stuff. And by the way, as far as the suggestion of a picnic basket,
mm-hmm.
it's a really good wedding gift. And you can do it where you have like two wine glasses. They don't have to be expensive ones, but two of everything kind of a deal. Two
right.
napkins, two sets of silverware. It's real romantic as a wedding gift, too. And you could go and get some delicacies, you know, that are in tins, you know, like that to put in there. Just sort of fancy stuff, you know.
Okay.
It's kind of a great wedding gift. It's sort of my favorite wedding gift, but unless if it's not too hot, you know,
right.
she might be inspired to go on a picnic with somebody or have a little sandwich packed for herself in a nice little picnic basket. Maybe she would like it.
Sydney, that was a great suggestion. I'm as Isaac just stated, I just wrote both of those ideas down. I really like the second one too because, you know, there's nothing. No, everyone texts now. Everyone sends emails now or tweets or Facebook messages. No one sits down and takes the time to write a handwritten note out that really means something to someone. So, Sydney, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate that.
Yes, and remember, your handwriting is very dear to her.
Very true. I appreciate
right.
the advice, Sydney. You have a good
okay.
one, all right? And happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
All right. Wow, those were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And we'll continue this tomorrow. I think on tomorrow's show, I want to take calls, and I really want to hear from the mothers on tomorrow's show. We love our guys who call in. We love you guys. But it's very rare when we get female callers, and we really appreciate Sydney weighing in. And it's Mother's Day this week, and I want to hear from the moms on tomorrow's show. So, but unfortunately, we're out of time. I do have one Throwback Thursday moment for you. The third perfect game of the major leagues was thrown by Cy Young, Boston Red Sox, against the Cy Young threw it back in 1904, actually, against the Philadelphia Athletics. It was the first perfect game under the modern rules. So Cy Young threw a perfect game on today. That's unbelievable stuff. Folks, have a fantastic afternoon. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Take care, and as always, be easy, people.